it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Sing day and night, let worship arise.
Day and night, night and day, let worship arise. Day and night, night and day, let worship arise. Day and night, night and day, let worship arise. Day and night, night and day, let worship arise.
Jesus is our bread of life. When we eat today, we eat health and prosperity and life to our bodies. So wherever there's a bruising or a sickness or a disease or something that's in your body that shouldn't be there, this is your time to claim your healing right now. Claim your healing as you eat this bread, because this is the bread of life. This restores everything. This was given for our redemption and our restoration and our lives. And Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, he broke it, he blessed it, he gave thanks, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's eat together.
You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Now,
I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, O Lord.
it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Same manner, he also took the cup that you're holding in your hand. And he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes again. Let's drink together. I want to talk about wisdom and knowledge. I mean, it's important to have wisdom today. I mean, a lot of us need wisdom, we need knowledge, and we need a discerning of what's good and evil, what's good and what's not good. Because you can get a lot of stuff on social media that you think is good is not good. There's a lot of things that you watch on TV that you think is good, but it's not good. So it's not even true. So you have to be able to discern. And God's given us that gift through the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. We've been given these gifts. But in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. I didn't say it. The Bible said it. Okay, I'm not calling you ignorant. But the Bible said that to me, too. Amen. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Verse 3, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, verse 7, is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith, but by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He, the Holy Spirit, wills. So I believe that all of these things at some time and other times in our lives work in all of us. Even though they work together and all of us have these gifts, that's why we have the body of Christ. Because we all have different gifts and different, you know, emphasis. But in reality, when you need them, God will give them to you. All these things He'll give to you because He gives them to you by His Spirit. Amen? Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 9, one verse. Proverbs 9, verse 1. It says, wisdom has built her house. She, wisdom, has hewn out her seven pillars. So I did research and I prayed and I asked the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to tell me what the seven pillars of wisdom were. And He said to me, the first one, the first pillar of wisdom is truth. John 14, 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? And then if you go to John chapter 1, let's go to John chapter 1, verse 114. It says, and the Word, that's Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His, Jesus' glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen? Jesus is full of grace and truth. And then if you go down to verse 17, the same chapter, verse 17, it says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through who? Jesus Christ. Amen? And then the second one is love. The second pillar is love. You want to mark that down? It's fine. If not, the second one is love and really grace. The third is honor. The fourth is faith. The fifth is vision. I mean, you know that the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, and my people perish for lack of vision. The sixth is responsibility, big word for today, being responsible. And the last one is self-control, which is really the gift of the Holy Spirit. He gives us the ability to have self-control. But remember, the house of wisdom represents the kingdom of God, the domain where God's ultimate reality is expressed in perfect design. And at the center of the kingdom is the dynamic and perfect relationship of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which sets the pattern for all relationships, even in our lives. I mean, it's important to have understanding of relationships in every aspect of our lives, not only marriage, but with friends and family and job situations. You need to understand relationships. And the seven pillars of wisdom hold up our spiritual houses, representing the core values of our kingdom life. And these pillars are vital for connection and building healthy kingdom relationships. Remember, the one we just talked about was truth, but the second one is a very powerful pillar, the pillar of love. And it's best found in 1 Corinthians 13:13, which states to us, the greatest of these is love. Acknowledging that love is the biggest, most important, and most powerful thing in the universe. Somebody always said to me, I'm looking for love. I said, well, find God, because God is love. If you're looking for it in a person, you might get disappointed. But if you look for it in God, you'll never be disappointed, because God won't disappoint you, because he is love. But love is the biggest, the most important. And so what does love mean in the context of a relationship? Glad you asked that question. The pillar of love is compromised, or comprised, excuse me, not compromised. The pillar of life is comprised of commitment, action, and results. The commitment part is this: I care about you, and I value you, all of you. I care about your spirit. I care about your soul. I care about your body. I care about relationships. I care about your dreams. I don't know about you, but my dreams always change. And I care about your destiny. The action part is realized in spending time with each other in many different situations as we get to know each other over time. I mean, it takes time to get to know each other even in church. It takes more sometimes than even just a Sunday morning. It takes another interaction kind of concept of either eating together, getting together, having fellowship together, talking together, you know, about each other, about our interests, what we like, what we do, what we don't do. Those things are important. And the action part is important. And the results of these actions is that each of us feels loved. When somebody takes interest in you, it's all about love. It's all about feeling safe, feeling valued, honored, connected, nourished, protected, and understood. So if your love isn't producing things like safety or peace and trust in your relationship, it probably shouldn't be called love. Let me say that again. If your love isn't producing things like safety, you should feel safe when you're around somebody who loves you. You should feel peace and trust in your relationship for it to be love. And looking closer, you find that these people who cannot fully be themselves because it's not safe. They consistently withhold things and set conditions based on what they will give up to the other person. Now, if you want to test the quality of love in a relationship, then you need to ask one another these three or four simple little questions. Do you feel safe when you're around me? Do you feel cared for? Do you feel valued and significant? Do you feel protected? And do you feel pursued and known? Remember, perfect love casts out fear. And the most immediate sign that the pillar of love is growing strong in your relationship is that all fear is leaving as courage, freedom, and safety are felt and exposed. The third pillar that I gave you truth and I gave you love, but the third pillar was honor. This is something that's pretty much missing in our society today, how we treat and honor one another. See, honor, like submission, is a term that has been misused and abused, particularly in the connection with marriage. People see it as something that is expected rather than something that is given. Honor, when true honor is given, it creates life. And it causes people to be attracted to it. And life releases life. And that's what we have to be associated with. You know, it's just like a lot of things in the world are not givers of life. And you know, we're getting close to a holiday that really is a holiday of death. And people celebrate this death rather than life. You know, one of the most famous, you know, bands for a long time was the Grateful Dead. who would be attracted to that kind of a slogan or a name of a band? It's crazy. Life gives life. Honor breeds life. When honor is expected or even demanded, it becomes just another word for handling control, power, and value over to the person in the relationship. And that's not healthy. It's not healthy if honor is interpreted as control. There should be no control. There should just be love. A relationship where one person has all the power is one of dishonor, not honor. God modeled honor when he transformed us from slaves to friends, from orphans to sons. He stooped low to bring us to his level. He used his power to make us powerful, insisting that we are equal partners in his plan to bring heaven to earth. As it is in heaven, so on earth. Amen? And this is the pattern for honor in relationships. True honor is the practice of two powerful people putting one another before themselves, empowering one another, working together to meet one another's needs, and adjusting as necessary in order to move together towards the shared goals of the relationship. Honor is also the practice of calling out the best in each other. And this can be expressed both in words of praise, like tell somebody, you're amazing. You're amazing. Do it on a day when they don't even think they're amazing. Give them those words. You're amazing. Rather than, hey, you are way too awesome to be acting like that. How many know you can say things that are good the wrong way? And they come out screwed, you know, all messed up and confusing. Remember who you are and stop it. Honor always allows us to keep high levels of value for and faith in people, even when they demonstrate how different from us they are. You can change an atmosphere with a person by just telling them, you're amazing. Or God loves you. Or can I pray for you? And when they make mistakes, typically people allow differences and mistakes to lower their respect and value for other people. But you know that the pillar of honor is strong in a relationship when you can look at the other person and say, you are really different from me. It makes me sad when I see you making that choice, but I love you. I love you. I value you. I believe in you. And I'm here for you in this relationship. Amen? See, communication exposes what's going on inside of us. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if your heart, your internal reality is governed by fear, then you're going to telegraph that through your body, your language, your facial expressions, your words, and your tone. And conversely, if your heart is governed by faith, hope, and love, you'll release this reality through what you say and how you say it. If your heart is governed by fear, then much of what you communicate is actually designed to hide what is really going on inside of you. So you project your fear out, your anger out, and you hold back and pretend something doesn't hurt, or you act happy when your heart is breaking in an attempt to avoid pain that being real can inflict. It is also possible that you, like many, were never taught how to interpret or translate through the language of your thoughts, emotions, or desires into words, and let alone communicate them to others. As a result, your eternal reality has never been validated. And now, for the most part, you are ashamed and fearful the results of not knowing how to communicate your feelings. You hide behind an acceptable social mask. But fear of truth is the great hijacker of all communication. And when you don't have either the courage or the ability to face the truth of what you feel, think, and need, you end up communicating confusing and inaccurate information, sometimes even downright falsehoods. So ask yourself two questions. If I don't learn to value and understand what's going on inside of me, do you hear that? If I don't learn to value and understand what's going on inside of me, how can I value and understand what's going on in another person? If I don't know myself, how can I get to know another person? Someone with a completely different experience and perspective, the value of the truth of who they are. The answer to this, to both of these questions, is simple. You can't. Only those who value and understand themselves can value and understand others. Only those who communicate honestly with themselves can communicate honestly with others. And this is the pillar of truth. Unless we become godly people who value what is going on in our own hearts, your experience with communication is guaranteed to be an endless sequence of misunderstandings and being misunderstood. Ungodly people continually communicate out of the fear of truth, and they primarily do it one of three ways. Passive communication. Aggressive communication. Or passive and aggressive communication combined. And I don't have time to explain these in detail here today, but it's important that you get to know yourself in Christ. Know your identity and who you are so you can be of value to others around you. Because other people around you are hurt even more than you are, especially if they don't know Jesus. They just wallow in, you know, unbelief and craziness. But let me say this. Each of these ways trace back to a false core belief about the value of what's inside of you, who you are in Christ. It's so important to know. And it's not only important to know, it's important to confess. It's important to believe. It's important to speak. Worse than that, you'll cultivate the fear and destroy the connection because it provides a way for people like yourself to not tell the truth, just to keep hiding your hurt and not ever speaking it, not looking for a healing, but rather just speaking and just hiding. And the only positive and godly style of communication is the assertive communicator, because the core belief of assertive communicator is you matter, and so do I. My thoughts, my feelings, my needs matter, and so do yours. Assertive communicators refuse to have relationships or conversations where both people do not have a high value of each other. And that's an equal value. As far as high, it's an equal value. And they're not afraid to show the other person what is happening inside of them. I like the illustration somebody once said. We're gonna put the probe on top of your body, and then we're gonna show everybody. We're gonna put it up here on the overhead so everybody can see what's going on inside of you. Any volunteers? Because they value what's inside of them, they take the time and the effort to understand their thoughts and feelings and needs and to find words to express them clearly and honestly. And this process enhances their ability to value and understand what another person communicates to them about his or her own heart. And this is the core value of honor and mutual respect. And another core belief that builds true healthy kingdom relationship is trust. Big word, huh? Trust. I mean, trust doesn't happen first time around. Sometimes it doesn't happen for many years. It takes time to earn respect and trust by truth and love. Jesus said in the book of Matthew that it is better for someone to tie an enormous rock around your neck and kick you into the deepest part of the ocean and let you sink rather than allow you to cause a child to stumble. That's my translation. Apparently, protecting the trust of the vulnerable is a big deal to Jesus, and for good reason. When people, whoever they may be, mess with your trust at an early age, you are likely to struggle in life. We were designed by God to live out of trust. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. I don't know about you, but I don't always do that. Sometimes I trust in myself. Sometimes I never even think about God in the situation. I mean, be honest. How many times do we really trust in the Lord with all our heart? For every situation in your life. Relationships, friendships, family, work. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Look at the next phrase it says. And lean not on your own understanding. That's where you say, ouch. Not amen. Ouch. Because what do we, why did he write that? Because that's what we do. What do? We lean on our own understanding. Everything we've learned, what we've seen in family life, brokenness, dysfunctionalism, we bring it right into the relationships with Jesus and think it's going to still value, that there's still value there when there's no value. Because we have to build on the seven pillars of wisdom, the truth, the love, the honor, amen, the faith, the vision, the responsibility, the self-control. In all your ways, verse 6, Proverbs 3, 6, in all your ways acknowledge who? Him. And he shall do what? If you do this, he shall what? Direct your paths. He will help you make the right choices by giving you wisdom and knowledge, a discerning of spirits, a working of miracles. He says in verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Why did he write that? Because that's what we do when we're walking in the flesh and not in the spirit. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions, with your substance, and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your bank accounts. I changed the word there because I don't know anybody in this room who has a barn. Anybody in this room have a barn in your backyard? So that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So trust is the first development task every person must achieve in infancy in order to develop healthy relationships in life. I mean, little children trust their parents. You know why? Because they can't get food by themselves. They can't get care by themselves. They can't even change their diapers when they're little. They got to trust mommy and daddy or somebody to get that thing clean so they can move on. Because if that thing ain't clean, they ain't going nowhere. They stink. So the trust cycle can only be completed through a relational connection, because only a relationship can meet a full range of a person's needs. And we all have needs. You know what? We all need to be loved. All of us need to be loved. All of us need to feel appreciation. We need that. We need to be accepted in the beloved. Amen? And from the moment we enter the world, our deepest need is to be loved, is to love and be loved by other human beings, and to gauge in lasting relational bonds. But getting back to Jesus and hanging a big rock on your neck and throwing you into the deepest ocean, Jesus says that it was serious to cause a child to stumble, revealing the jealous, protective love of the Father for his lost orphan children in this world. That included all of us before we found Jesus. We were there too. Don't forget that. Jesus went to the cross to avenge the stolen innocence and the broken trust we all inherited after the fall. And when he declared that we had all we had to do is be born again, he was saying we're going to start this trust thing over again. We're going to try to start it in a new way. That's why we sang today, leaving the past. We're born again, amen, dancing on the grave from where we came out of, amen, and getting our trust back, the trusting. I am placing you in the Father's arms where you're going to experience unconditional love, unconditional acceptance, unconditional care, and he's going to meet your needs when you cry out to him, especially your need to be loved. He's the only one. God is love. Looking for love? Find God. And you're going to learn how to trust again and again and again, and you're going to be able to build healthy kingdom relationships where your heart will be satisfied always in him and one another. Relationships where your heart will be satisfied eternally and forever and ever. And there's no one too broken or too far gone with an orphan spirit that he or she cannot come home to the Father's house to live with love as God designed. And God's the giver of life. He's always given us life. And we should be celebrating life all the time. Every time we come to church, let's celebrate life. Amen? Because that's truly the heart of the gospel. And that is truly good news for all people on this planet. Amen? Let me close today with a couple final thoughts, and we'll pick up on this again. But if you want to protect your connections with others, build trust, truth, honor, and love, you need to communicate respectively and then live by this guiding thought. It is my place to tell you about me, and it's your place to tell me about you. We were made by God to have our needs met through relationships with people, even family. And that's why you have to be careful. You know, I mean, I like mega churches. They're good, but they're not really relational. And you can't have good, healthy things going on if the thing is too big. Jesus said, if two or more gather in my name, I'm in the midst. Jesus is not looking for thousands upon thousands upon 10,000 or 15,000, 25,000, 35,000, 45,000 people in one church. He's looking for relationships. God theology is relational theology. He wants us to relate to one another, have fellowship with one another, eat together, rub shoulders together, talk together. Amen? See, love is a free choice, and it's the only thing that will satisfy our hearts, because God is love, and he was ultimately designed to meet all your needs. Who was designed to meet all your needs? Not me. Jesus, God, the Father, the Son. Not even Marie. She wasn't designed. God was designed to meet all my needs. And that's why counterfeits never live up to their promises. And this is why all of us must face our fear of rejection, be healed of shame and risk, our hearts and relationships. And we must be willing to offer the truth. Remember, it's one of the seven pillars that build healthy kingdom relationships. But we must be willing to offer the truth of who we are to those we love and receive the truth of who they are. I love you just the way you are. I like that song. It says, come as you are. Don't come as I want you to be. Why, you ask? Because only the truth can make us free. And when we know the truth about ourselves, then we can learn the truth about others. When we know our own identity in Christ, then we can find out about others and give them their value, their needs, what they want. And, you know, and God will then assist us and help us by the Holy Spirit. Because he has the wisdom about that person more than you do. That's why you need to rely on him for those things. Amen?
No, we'll never get it perfect, really. But God perfects it for us. We worship. He perfects it.
Goodbye yesterday, I'm living in the light of a new day.
today. I won't waste another minute in my old ways. Praise the Lord, I've been born again. Goodbye yesterday, I'm living in the light of a new day. I won't waste another minute in my old ways. Praise the Lord, I've been born again. Again and again and again and again, you rescued me out of the mess I was in. You traded my sorrow for something to sing. Now I'm dancing on the grave that I once. Sing goodbye. Goodbye yesterday, I'm living in the light of a new day. I won't waste another minute in my old ways. Praise the Lord, I've been born. Goodbye. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I've got resurrection in my veins. Praise the Lord, I've been born again and again and again and again. You rescued me out of the mess I was in. You traded my sorrows for something to sing. Now I'm dancing on the grave that I want. Again! Again and again and again and again. You rescued me out of the mess I was in. You traded my sorrow for something to sing. Now I'm dancing on the grave that I once lived in. Hey! Boom, boom. I have decided to follow Jesus. The world before and the cross before, and I will turn back. I have decided to follow Jesus. The world behind, the cross before, and I will turn back. I have decided to follow Jesus. The world behind, the cross before, and I will turn back. I have. Last time. I have decided to follow Jesus. The world behind, the cross before, and I won't turn back. I won't turn back.
I won't turn back.
I won't turn back.
I won't turn.
The world behind, the cross before, and I won't turn back. Turn back. I won't turn back. High in the cross before. Again and again and again and again. You rescued me out of the mess I was in. You traded my sorrow for something to sing. Now I'm dancing. We're dancing. Again. Again and again and again and again. You rescued me out of the mess I was in. You traded my sorrow for something to sing. Now I'm dancing on the grave that I once lived in. Praise the Lord, I've been born again. Praise the Lord, I've been born again. Praise the Lord, hey, I've been born again.
So how do we get wisdom? James chapter 1, verse 6 says, if anyone of you lacks wisdom,
ask for it.
Let him ask of God.
Amen.
Who gives us
generously.
To all, who gives to all liberally
yes.
and without reproach,
yes.
and it shall be given. The asking element is not supposed to be a human work. It's just an admission of dependence on Him.
Amen.
How quickly we try to turn everything into our own self-efforts. James is putting the emphasis on God's ability to provide. Faith is the key element here. Trust that God will enlighten you with wisdom, even as you already possess the person of wisdom inside of you. Amen? And Paul himself constantly asked for wisdom, not only for himself, but for others as well. Pray for the other people to get wisdom. Amen? And then Colossians 1:9 says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all of wisdom and spiritual understanding." That's my prayer for you today. God bless you. Have a great week.
Again and again and again and again, you rescued me out of the mess I was in. You traded my sorrow for something to think. Now I'm dancing on the grave.
Do it again.
Again and again and again and again, you rescued me out of the mess I was in. You traded my sorrow for something to sing. Now I'm dancing on the grave that I once lived in.
Bum, bum.
I have decided to follow Jesus. The world behind the cross before, and I won't turn back. I have decided to follow Jesus. The world behind the cross before, and I won't turn back. I have decided to follow Jesus. The world behind the cross before, and
I have decided.
I have decided to follow Jesus. The world behind the cross before, and I won't turn back. Again and again and again and again, you rescued me out of the mess I was in. You traded my sorrow for something to sing. Now I'm dancing on the grave that I once lived in. Again and again and again and again, you rescued me out of the mess I was in. You traded my sorrow for something to sing. Now I'm dancing on the grave that I once lived in.